The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Live from Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Welcome into Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. It is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you. D-Mace, well, he's on vacation for the next couple of weeks because, you know, that's what you do when you play 15 years in the league. You take a long vacation to end the summer, and he has every right to do that, and so he will rejoin us. Actually, over the next couple of weeks, we're all kind of doing vacations to get to finish out the summer. So
the final battery charge before the big fall action starts. We're really excited about all the coverage that we're going to give you on the Titans, on the Predators, on college football. We speak all the languages on this station that we take a lot of pride in. You know, regardless of what sport you're talking about, we can do it. So, and you know, including baseball, Chase.
Yes.
Any baseball news over the weekend from your team?
Nothing.
No.
Nope.
Just wondering about that.
No, your Mets took 4-5, and you know, I kind of thought it would be more of a fight. It wasn't. So we'll see. A lot of baseball left to be played, but
you're moving on.
I don't feel the page.
I mean,
look, I'm going to be honest with you. Enjoy the NL East because I don't feel good about it. I mean, I think.
Well, there's four more in Atlanta coming up this coming weekend.
Yeah, which are going to be big. I mean, the thing is, the Mets are healthy, and that is the key to all of this because I think they've probably had, you know, the talent the last few years. But you get DeGrom back, that's obviously huge. Scherzer's healthy. Fried, the thing that worries me about Max Fried is when, and I know he kind of got banged up, but when he's in the spotlight and he's got to win the big game, he does not really come through. He hasn't quite managed the big stage yet.
He threw the one really good game in the World Series, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Game 6.
And that's always, you know, remember Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine used to get a lot of heat because they weren't as great in the postseason as they were in the regular season. They had respectable games. They each had individual outstanding games, but it wasn't just that one after another after another. And if you start enough games in the postseason, you're going to have a wide range of results. But Max Fried is a young pitcher, and I think his team's going to be in the postseason a lot. So it's a really good question because, you know, Strider didn't do well. Fried didn't do well. Anderson is really struggling right now. They sent him to the minors so much so. So they've got a few questions to answer, but the Braves are still a great team. I think the Mets caught them. The Mets were playing great. They have a great energy over there right now. There's a belief it's the best Mets team in decades, maybe arguably the best team they've had since 1986. That's really saying something. Record-wise, that's what you would say. And there's a belief now. When you beat the Braves, it's a confidence boost because over the years, I'll be totally honest, the Braves have dominated the Mets when they've needed to dominate them. But that has not been the case this year, which is a good sign for Mets fans like me. But a long way to go. And meanwhile, the Dodgers dominated the Padres, made a statement after the Padres loaded up. Padres have some work to do. So it's going to be fun. I think the National League is very, very deep. The postseason is going to be fantastic with the new format. Yep. I think there'll be a lot of drama.
See, I'm interested. I'm interested that you said that because usually you don't like a lot of change, especially when it comes to baseball. But you know, and I don't either. I don't want to see everybody get into the playoffs, but I'm okay with you know adding another wild card.
I had mixed feelings about it. I do think the last team that gets in might not be really a great team, and you're like, does that team really deserve to be in the postseason? But I do. The one thing I do like is there is a reward for having the best record. You get, you slide up a round. You don't have to play in that first round, and so that is, I think, a distinct advantage.
Yeah.
So I like that part of it. I'm not wild about the extra games. You know, they went 2 out of 3 instead of the 1 wild card game, which was very dramatic. So we'll see. The thing I've never liked about it is when you add games, the postseason sort of dilutes. It goes on too long, which I don't think is beneficial for baseball. There's less importance on every game. So I'm mixed about it. But that's the thing I like about it the most is you do get rewarded for having one of the two best records. You get to get a bye.
The Titans are on the field right now for training camp, not in pads today, or they're in kind of the shells, but with shorts and everything as they get ready for their first preseason game, which will be Thursday night at Baltimore. So this is really the only the last practice before that. And so because of that, Willie, we get for the first time, and Mike, you know how much Mike Vrabel loves this, the unofficial depth chart for the Tennessee Titans. That is out.
Dun, dun.
And, you know, he's always excited to release that. But Dylan Radins is listed as the starting right tackle right now for the Titans, with Nicholas Petit-Frere as the second stringer. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina listed as a starter at wide receiver with Treylon Burks behind him. That's really the only, I guess if you want to call them, surprises for the Titans right now. Austin Hooper and Jeff Swaim, your two starting tight ends. But nothing really surprising on offense except for Radins, the right tackle.
I think we've been watching that one really close. I don't think it's a surprise that he's in there now. But I think the question is, can he hold that spot? Just because it does appear like you're hearing a lot of stuff about Petit-Frere, especially in the last week or so. So I think that job is still wide open for the competition. But I think the other thing that depth chart says, Chase, is they haven't had a lot of quote-unquote issues in terms of guys not being available. They've been able to evaluate the group. So I think I might put a little bit more stock in this early depth chart than I normally would.
Yeah.
Because we've seen everybody.
Aaron Brewer listed as the left guard, too, and I kind of feel like that's probably what it's going to be.
That's how it feels.
Tougher than a $2 steak, according to Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
So he said that. So your offensive line, LaJuan Brewer, Jones, Nate Davis, Dylan Radins, Robert Woods on here as a starter with – now, the receivers is interesting. All right, so if you go the first wide receiver, Westbrook-Ikhina, Treylon Burks, Racy McMath, Cody Hollister, Josh Malone, and then Woods, Kyle Phillips, Dez Fitzpatrick, Mason Kinsey, Terry Godwin, Brandon Lewis. Quarterbacks are Tannehill, Woodside, Willis. Running backs, Henry, Hilliard, Wilkins, Haskins. So Jordan Wilkins ahead of Hassan Haskins right now, at least on this depth chart. That's obviously going to change. But the receiver battle continues to be one to watch. And, you know, you want to see some of those things get answered Thursday night, because I think a lot of these young guys are going to play. I don't know how much you're going to see Woods. You won't see Woods at all. Westbrook-Ikhina, you might see a little bit to start. I would expect, though, I would hope so, that we'll see a lot of Treylon Burks Thursday night. You agree?
That's a good question. I would want to put him out there. I'd want to get him the reps.
I think at least a half.
It seems obvious. If he's healthy and he's got no issues by then, yeah, why not? Let's get him in there. Let's get him the reps. Let's get him the ball. I have noticed just in the practices I've been into how many throws go his way.
Yeah.
They are – I don't know if it's – I think it's a little bit of both. I think they want to see what he can do, but I also think it's to his credit, because I don't think they're going to throw him the ball intentionally if he's not open. So he's getting open. He's getting plays where he is in the progression. And at least in the practices, I think he's done fairly well. So let's see the next level in the preseason games, knowing that it doesn't mean everything. But it's just you want him on the fast track. You want him to be as ready as he can be to start the season. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if he's not in there some. But I think we all know that they look at these games differently
sure.
than they did, say, 10 years ago.
Titans tight end Austin Hooper going to join us after practice today on defense. I don't even want to call this a surprise, but the only thing that really stands out to me, the two starting corners, Caleb Farley and then Christian Fulton. And Fulton's not the surprise. Obviously, I think he was going to be one. But Caleb Farley right now listed as a starter with Roger McCreary behind him. I think that's how they're going to line up against the Giants on September 11th. I think Farley, if he can stay healthy for the rest of the way, he's starting.
This is another really good problem to have because McCreary has played well. I think this is a theme that I think we'll come back to today, Chase, is this rookie class. You go down the list. Most of them are tracking, and I say that, you know, knowing that we still got a long way to go, but they're tracking like they're going to have a role of some
yeah.
sort. You know, I don't know how many guys are going to light it up. Now, Farley's not a rookie, but essentially, you could look at him like a rookie. He missed so much time last year. Does he really even count as a second-year guy? But the fact that Farley...
Last year was like a redshirt year.
But he's come so far. I did not expect him to be fully doing his thing at this point in camp. So that is a huge thing, I think, that he is already in there in that spot. And you've got a guy behind him in McCreary that I think has shown out very, very well. And that's with Elijah Molden being one of the few guys that hasn't been able to practice. And I think you have a pretty good idea what he can do. But I think this rookie class is shaping up to be a solid class. Like even Okonkwo, I don't know if he's going to play every down. I don't know if he can block consistently to be in there on a huge percentage of plays. But I think he's talented enough that he's going to find his way onto the field some.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a factor.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
A factor. And I think that's a great role for a rookie. If you can come in and play a distinct role, even if it's secondary, significant but secondary, to where I'm not throwing too much at you your first year. I think for a lot of guys, that would be really, really good. For this team in particular, who's had plenty of rookie classes where only two or three guys contribute, some guys haven't been in the plans at all, that would be really, really good for a team that, you know, is trying to stay in a window of being a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, no doubt about that for sure. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, NFL coaches that have done the best job without having the franchise quarterback. Where does Mike Vrabel rank in that conversation? We will discuss that coming up. But first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics, of course, is this cutting-edge technique, regenerative medicine that is keeping people mobile, active, the way you want to be. As you start to experience more and more joint pain, injury issues. So if you've got that constant pain in your knees, your hips, shoulders, back, whatever the case may be, maybe it's arthritis, you need to be moving pain-free. QC Kinetics can help you with that. They're helping people every day with it. Lasting pain relief using the latest advances in regenerative medicine. The science is very simple. And I just lost my computer screen. But what they do is they...
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
This isn't good at all.
No, that's not good.
Wow.
That's like the blue screen of death, but the Mac version.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
It's trying to restart. We'll see if it can happen. But let me tell you about QC Kinetics. If you want the free consultation, you can get it from QC Kinetics because they do a fantastic job. They're in our listening area, and they're really throughout the country now with these great techniques. So try QC Kinetics. Give them a call here in Middle Tennessee. 615-249-4024 is the number. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Back here, 1025-1063, the game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live at Titans training camp as we try and get Willie's computer going again.
The good news is it's up.
That's good.
The question is, will it sustain? Will it sustain moving forward?
I think it'll be okay.
Did it execute what we just tried to do? I hope so.
Give it a second, and it probably will.
Let's hope so. Let's hope that alleviates some of the
people difficulty. Don't care about your computer problems,
They don't want to hear about my problems. They want a good show. Like, give me some good sports talk radio. Let's go.
Well, like NFL coaches that have done the best job without having the franchise quarterback. Now,
all
we
right,
were
we got Rex Rhodes here. So I'd love to hit him on the spot with this question too. Just okay. Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Rex Rhodes put
the because I don't
I
know,
think this is up his alley.
I didn't have a chance to research this with the detail that I wanted, so I'm just kind of bouncing it off of because I heard this on the way over. It was a spontaneous thing. I was listening to a conversation involving Rich Gannon, and he was talking about Sean Payton and how for years when you have the ace quarterback like Drew Brees, you are going to win. You're going to win some games. And it's just a question of, you know, can you win a Super Bowl, which he did. But he was talking about how hard it is when you go from that to not having. And there's a lot of degrees of the type of quarterback if you don't have it. But I started thinking, who are the best coaches through the years? Go back as far as you want. Of winning games without the ace quarterback like Brees, Brady, the tier one guys that we talk about all the time. Because it got me thinking about Vrabel. Mike Vrabel has been a consistent winner, and he's never had the tier one guy, right? He's trying to get the most he can out of Tannehill. He's gotten good mileage out of him. He tried to get the most out of Mariota for a period of time. So who else comes to mind for you guys? And who does the best job when they don't have a tier one? And would Vrabel be as good as anybody, at least lately, with that?
Before I answer that, I'd just like to point out that I merely stopped by the table to take a sip of my raspberry acai. Yeah.
So you had shut your
brain off. I'm not prepared for this question.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a great question. But it's kind of a fun question.
It is like a very fun question.
We want to hear from the listeners, too. 737-1025. If you've got somebody that comes to mind.
So someone who comes to mind, I'll go back to, one of my favorite all-time SNL skits.
Dicka.
Now, the thing with him is, you know, it gets offset a little bit when you have that kind of defense. You have a tier one of the all-time great running backs, right, of all time. You have one of the great defenses of all time, really, for a few years. And then 85 was the – but
oh, yeah.
Jim McMahon, and, I mean, he's throwing in some Steve Fuller and some Flutie.
Yeah,
and
McMahon missed a lot of games.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, well, back then you could just pick guys up and just, you know, throw them into the goalposts. So that comes to mind. Who do we like?
Would you say John Harbaugh would fit the mold over the long haul?
Absolutely.
Even though Lamar Jackson, when he's at his best, has been MVP level.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that hasn't been every year. You can go back to Flacco, and I would say he did really well. Flacco was very good, but not a Drew Brees, Tom Brady franchise quarterback.
No doubt.
I would say the Ravens have won both of their Super Bowls without the franchise quarterback. Obviously, in 2000,
yeah. So Brian Billick would be
Brian Billick there, yeah. Won with Dilfer, but that defense was so good.
I think maybe number one, because this is a great question. I mean, there's someone we're going to forget, but maybe number one is Bill Parcells. How do you consider Phil Sims? I don't think he's ever tier one. I think he was a good tier two, right?
I agree.
Then he wins it with Hostetler. He's got Vinny Testaverde that he's winning at a high rate with the Jets.
That's a good one. Vinny Testaverde, he got them to the AFC Championship game and won a lot of games. So, yes, it wasn't just Drew Bledsoe. Not a franchise quarterback.
Like Bledsoe also was probably at his best, was a good two, but he wasn't one of those guys, right?
Yes.
And I already thought Parcells was one of the greats, right?
Yeah.
And so that kind of matches up what you think of him as a coach.
Yeah.
But you know there's somebody we're not thinking
of. But okay, so along those lines for a second.
I can go with Chuck Knoll if you want, because if you really don't think Terry Bradshaw was, you know, like he had the incredible team around him.
We don't want to upset Steeler fan. But even Terry Bradshaw himself, I think, has, in retrospect, looked back and said, you know, I was fortunate, even though he is in the Hall of Fame. I think Troy Aikman, you could have that kind of conversation, too. Great
incredible teams. Receivers, running back, defense, offensive line, Hall of Famers everywhere.
Which made him look better, made their job easier.
Let's say this on this topic. It's not that they had to be a crappy quarterback that won a Super Bowl. It's just, it's like Tannehill. Tannehill's good.
Well, that's
he's not
what
great.
We're getting at.
Right.
No, yeah, I mean, he's good. He's not great. He's not the guy that is going to take over the game like Brady or Rodgers or Manning or whatever and make the team around you better. You have to have the right people. It's like Vrabel said, we have to be good around Ryan to be successful. That's kind of what we're talking about here. So, obviously, you know, right now he's in that category. I'm trying to think of some – I mean, Gruden won a Super Bowl with Brad Johnson.
But they
had the defense.
But Gruden, if you take a look, he didn't really win a lot when you get down to it.
No. He didn't. It was just that one year.
He had that one great season, and he had a couple other decent seasons here and there, but not anything really long term.
He's one of those. Yeah. You know, once we look back in retrospect, we're like, man, that guy got a lot of hype for what he actually did.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, win a Super Bowl. But
would you put Phil Simms and Tannehill kind of in the same category?
I think so. And you know, but another thing that you could take away, it's like with Ditka, also those Giants teams are. I mean, they had the best, arguably the best football player ever in Lawrence Taylor. Incredible line. I mean, all up and down
and
that
Belichick
defense.
Belichick running the defense. And you had that was a special defense for a long time.
And you had, I mean, Joe Morris was a hell of a player. People don't ever talk about him, but what a player he was too. Like back in the day for them. So
not great receivers, right?
That's true. Yeah, you had like Phil McConkey running around there. I'm sure if Sean Henry's listening, he's probably texting up a storm about how great Phil McConkey was. But
he was pretty good. He was pretty good. But he was not. He was not to be confused with
No.
Some of these, he's not going to the Hall of Fame anytime soon.
Yeah, like who'd they have? They had
Lionel
Stephen
Manuel,
Baker.
Stephen Baker, a committee. Mark
I mean,
Ingram.
Bavaro was a great player. Yeah. So, yeah, Mark Ingram was a very good player. But, yeah, that's not elite of elite.
It was a great team, but it wasn't full of individual stars. But I would say Simms maybe over the long haul more than Tannehill.
Yeah.
Tannehill probably never played on a team as good as that Giants team. This was a different era. This is before the salary cap. So it was easier to hang on to all of your pieces.
Yeah.
But I think this is a very complex question, which is why I threw it out there.
A guy that we were talking about when we were kind of having this conversation on the sideline earlier, Andy Reid with Donovan McNabb. Now, I think Donovan McNabb is pretty good. I would actually put him maybe a step above Tannehill.
He had a few years where I would argue he was tier one.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, some guys have short bursts where they're tier one, but maybe they're not overall.
Right. And if they beat the Patriots – It's probably a different conversation.
If they like decide to go no huddle at some point,
instead
of like, let's huddle up and talk about it for a little bit. Yeah.
Right. If they win that game, win that Super Bowl, then we're probably having a different conversation about McNabb at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, and Andy Reid's a Hall of Fame coach. He finally won the Super Bowl. Obviously, he has a franchise quarterback now.
Right.
With Kansas City. But I mean, even before that, he did some winning with Alex Smith. You know, that kind of led to.
No doubt. They had very good teams. Point. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good. I know there's got to be somebody on the text line by now who has thrown something that we hadn't thought of, right? Because there's.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea.
Here's one.
615-737-1025. Best results as a coach without the superstar quarterback.
Junie on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com.
Oh, he's got a Steelers idea.
Nope. Joe Gibbs with Washington, 1-3 without an all-time
great
quarterback.
That's a fantastic. There you go.
Okay.
That's a fantastic call.
Now, before the show started, when I was polling some of the other media here, this is what I thought about when that name came up. Mark Rippon, I think, was the league MVP the year that they won with him.
In 91, you're right.
So not a great quarterback, but a great season. He was lights out that year. Joe Theismann, I think, was a league MVP level.
Joe Theismann is a really interesting thing because you don't think of him as an all-time great. But those teams
had one
of the great offensive lines of all time. They had a great running back. They had great receivers. They had a great defense. Pass rush, Daryl Green, Dexter Manley. So it's it's an incredibly loaded team. But I think Theismann he's got to be considered tier two, right?
He's tier two. Yeah, I agree.
Good tier two, though. He was excellent. I mean, dude, they had an MVP.
And Doug Williams caught fire at the right time, but he was not a Hall of Fame level. So I think that's a legit answer.
It's
for sure.
Great answer because I think Williams and what he did in the Super Bowl against the Broncos, Jay Schrader, what he did at times, and then also Rippon, like Gibbs somehow got like career performances out of these journeyman quarterbacks, too, to go with everything else. By the way, the Redskins also had an MVP at freaking place kicker in the 80s, Mark Mosley.
Yes, they did.
So there you go.
I look back and I remember when that happened. I had the football card, straight on kicker, by the way.
That's right.
You get extra
points
for that. Yeah. Kicked with the toe. He was like the last guy to do it. But how did he win the MVP of the league? How did people come around to that?
Like, I mean, I think
he
had a bunch of game winners, I think, but still, I know. It's like
that still amazes me. Like, there's certain questions that get more mysterious the further away you are. Like, how did that happen? A kicker of the MVP.
And I think we should all agree on this. You don't have to have won a Super Bowl. Just have success. I mean, Vrabel obviously hasn't won a Super Bowl as of yet. Where would you guys put Mike Holmgren and Matt Hasselbeck? in this. Did make a Super Bowl appearances, won a lot of games, but I wouldn't say Matt Hasselbeck was tier one.
They had a great season. They had I think a couple other playoff teams in there with Matt Hasselbeck, but that's a legit. I'd have to look year in and year out at the Seahawks, because there's also the Mike Holmgren Packers where he had Brett Favre.
Well, he had the guy.
Yeah. Well, right, but I'm just, obviously, that's different. But yeah.
So that he's a good example of with and without, maybe a little bit. Like, you get over the hump when you have Brett Favre, right? But, I mean, still, obviously a very good coach. I don't know. What tier would have – like, if they did the quarterback so tiers right now and he was in the league, what tier would he be?
Tier two.
Matt Hasselbeck?
Tier two.
I think tier two to maybe tier three.
Yeah. But
that's
what I was thinking, too.
He's already on the fringe there.
This was Holmgren with Seattle. 9-7, 6-10, 9-7, 7-9, 10-6, 9-7, 13-3. That's the year they went to the Super Bowl. 9-7, 10-6, 4-12.
And so, like, it took a lot of factors. That's like when you look at this team, like, you got to have a lot of things go well. You got to have your defense be healthy and great and a running game and all that stuff. You can do it. It can be done without the tier one guy, obviously. But you got to have a lot of factors come together for you.
So I think the point is you have to really do some good coaching, or you have to have a very, very special rest of the roster to win consistently without the superstar quarterback. And your job does become quite a lot easier if you do have that guy.
Yeah, like go back to this organization, go back to Bum Phillips. There's a guy who had great teams. You know, Dan Pastorini, what tier was he? I mean, he's probably a tier two but he might have been a three. Might have been a three. But you also had maybe the best back in the league for about 3-4 years, right up there.
Mm-hmm.
You had a good – I mean, that's a pretty good coaching job. You know?
Yeah.
You had a good – now, you couldn't get past the all-time great Steelers. That's it. Sometimes timing is part of it too, right?
Yep.
Joe, thank you for participating in this.
That was good stuff.
This
you
was
sparked
fun.
Thank you. Very
you sparked
fun.
The debate. You sparked the conversation. Well done.
It worked out great. We had boring periods out here.
Yeah. And now we get the guys out there. Yeah.
615-737-1025. Coaches that have had success in the NFL without the franchise quarterback, and where does Mike Vrabel rank among those coaches? We'll take your calls and text 615-737-1025. The final countdown to the fall sports season is approaching, and before everyone hunkers down in their man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity. A pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th. Plus, you can qualify to win a Davidoff cigar, a blend bar cocktail, and gift card. Just tune in today during the 12 o'clock hour right here on this show, Chase, Willie, and D-Mates, for your chance to win, brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. More of your calls and texts next, 1025, 1063 The Game. 1025, 1063 The Game, Chase, Willie, and D-Mates. We're live at Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park as team period underway. Right now, here in Titans training camp, as the Titans have their final tune-up before they head to Baltimore Thursday to take on the Steelers. Taking your calls and texts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coaches that have had success without the franchise quarterback, where do you rank Mike Vrabel in all of that? Willie, before you go some next-level stuff here, I'll read a couple of texts. From our text line, Alex says he's made a comment about the Steelers, but then he said Vrabel is the correct answer here so far. Others say I would say Jim Harbaugh when he transitioned from Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick. Junie weighs back in. Here comes the Steelers. I could go Steelers as well and say Bill Cowher with his 6 AFC Championship appearances. He went to 2 with Big Ben. But he also went with guys like Neil O'Donnell and Cordell Stewart.
Yes. I think that's a good
Tommy Maddox got him to the divisional round against the Titans.
And most of the names that are coming up, and Joe brought up Bill Parcells, which I should have thought of right away. But I think here is where I find it pretty interesting to compare Vrabel to all these names. Even Cowher is a good example here. What did all those teams have? They had an elite defense for a long period of time. I don't think the Titans have had that. Like, right. I'm hoping that the Titans have a really good defense this year. I would hesitate to label it elite yet until they do it. I think they've got the makings of a very, very good defense that could
win some games for you when you don't get much done from the offense. But I think when you look at Vrabel and you say to yourself, all right, what has he had to work with? You've had an elite running back, one of the best in the league, who sort of had the light go on. I think that was Vrabel's first year where that started to happen late in the year. But overall, he hasn't had a great defense. He hasn't had a great team, and they've won quite a bit. They've now strung together a couple of division titles. They've got to an AFC championship game. So if you expand it to most with the least, right, starting with not having a great quarterback, I think that lets you know Vrabel has done really well with what he's had to work with. So I'd like to hear more people's opinions on this when you're trying to get a sense of what Vrabel has accomplished. Most success without the Tier 1 quarterback at any time. 615-737-1025.
Yeah, and now we have somebody saying Junie is a Pittsburgh homer, which, look, we all know
legit,
that.
That's
though. Okay.
Yeah, we
it's
get
okay.
that, but that's a legit argument. Cordell Stewart, Tommy Maddox for a while, consistent winners. But they did have a really, really good defense for all of those time, all of those years. That was the staple of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, you have me thinking about, as much as I love the Cowboys, about Troy Aikman. Now, obviously, he had the receivers, he had the running back, he had the defense. They had the players around him. But I think it is interesting that name comes up, and we kind of talked about this the other day of, you know, there's still kind of an argument with some people, should he even be in the Hall of Fame with his three Super Bowls. So that's interesting. It's an interesting argument for him, and so therefore you put Jimmy Johnson in that category who won two Super Bowls.
But that was a loaded team. That was just – I don't think that was an overachieving team at all. That was a team loaded with – Hall of Famers, I would say. And I think they could have won whichever way they needed to win. If they needed to throw to win, they could have thrown. Troy Aikman could have put up better numbers if he needed to. So I do not think that fits that category. I think that was just a great all-around team. And Jimmy Johnson did a great job with that team. But,
okay.
Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl with that team.
Yeah.
And Barry Switzer was not a great coach.
Here's one I disagree with, but it's also a good conversation piece. This is what John says on our text line. Tom Coughlin with the Giants. Now, because you are going to have a group that's going to argue that Eli,
Tier two.
While good, was not the game-changing franchise quarterback. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think Eli Manning could be in the same conversation as Troy Aikman.
Okay.
You're going to have a group over here that goes Hall of Fame. A group over here says Hall of Really Good.
Wouldn't we say that Eli Manning, you take his arc slightly better than Tannehill in what he's accomplished?
Yeah.
Fair to say?
Yeah.
Coughlin is a good one because Coughlin won games, too, in Jacksonville.
Yep.
With Mark Brunell, who was really good for his time, but probably not Tier 1, maybe borderline Tier 1 at his best. As Derek has talked about, probably historically one of the more underrated wide receiver tandems in Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith.
Yep.
Those guys were great. So Coughlin, I think maybe there's some truth to that. That's a pretty good one.
Like I said, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I see the argument for it.
But I think it might shine a light on how we view Mike Vrabel as the coach and what he's had to work with. How much has he got out of this group? Could you really expect a whole lot more out of this group? I know the last 2 years, very disappointing exits at the start of the playoffs. And I think history is full of those things. But when you look at the talent and what he's had to work with, I think he's done a pretty darn good job.
Oh,
especially
I think so
when you
too.
Consider that you don't go in there with a quarterback that's going to win you a certain amount of games each year just because he tips the scales. He's never had that guy.
I feel like there's an obvious one we're missing that I just haven't thought of yet.
That's why we ask our callers and listeners
from any era. I mean, right now, Vrabel is the guy right now. I think of, you know, kind of going through the league.
I think John Harbaugh is the next closest that I can think of. I think you give him, like, even before Lamar Jackson, who has definitely raised the bar for his team's quarterback play, I think he's done a really good job.
Yeah.
And before that, the era before that, I think Cower does deserve
Cower,
to be in that discussion.
Cower definitely deserves that.
And then
that.
If you go back a little bit before, probably Parcells, but Parcells did have the incredible defense for a long period of time. But I think Parcells is in the discussion because it's not just the Giants, but Parcells did a pretty good job in New England and Dallas and with the Jets with similar circumstances. He never had the Hall of Fame Tier 1 quarterback, Bill Parcells. So he might be really the all-time answer.
Or Joe Gibbs.
That's where I'm – well, yeah, Joe Gibbs. Okay.
I mean, Gibbs and Parcells didn't have – they had decent, you know, good, serviceable quarterbacks, but they didn't have
– good, solid, no question. And Gibbs, as we talked about, he had sort of MVP level for a particular year here and there. We can dissect that a little further, though, and ask, was it really the team around those quarterbacks that elevated them to MVP level? Or was it them? Mark Rippon, Joe Theismann.
Sure. We'll get back into this a little later in the show because I think it is an interesting discussion. We'll come up with more names, and you can as well. But coming up next, it was year two of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix on the streets of Nashville. I was there. You'll also hear from winner Scott Dixon. I was able to catch up with him. There's a funny story behind that interview. We'll do all that next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. We're at Titans training camp today, and all of our Titans training camp coverage is presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix took place on the streets of Nashville yesterday with Scott Dixon getting the win. His 53rd career IndyCar win puts him second on the all-time wins list. He passed Mario Andretti. They were tied at 52, so now he is second only to A.J. Foyt. Foyt with 67 career wins in his career across CART and USAC as the old series that have all kind of combined together to form IndyCar now. But Dixon led the last 15 laps. He had a wild day. Had damage to the car that he sustained earlier in the race and was able to repair it and work his way up and use pit strategy and ultimately get the win. And, you know, a fun fact for him is Dixon actually won the last three IndyCar races at the Nashville Super Speedway. So this is his fourth win overall in the city of Nashville. Chip Ganassi, his team owner, has won the last five in Nashville, including those three at the Nashville Super Speedway and then Marcus Ericsson's win in the Grand Prix last year. Then, of course, this year. So Dixon, you know, with the two Hall of Famers and a Hall of Famer in his own right, chasing his seventh championship. This puts him in second in the points now in the IndyCar standings with three races left in the season. And they'll get double points in the last race of the year. So a championship battle definitely coming down to the wire. I thought it was a good race, Willie. They still got some things they got to figure out with – just all the cautions. They had 9 last year. They had 8 this year for 36 laps, which is a lot. It's an 80-lap race, so having 36 laps under caution is certainly not ideal. It's a tight track. I mean, that, you know, you're going to have that
it's
on
tight.
A street course. So
I think all of us look at that when you drive by there every day and say, man, they're going to actually run a race IndyCar here? It is interesting. It's challenging.
Yeah, and so
it's
unique
on one hand, but on the other hand, is it ideal?
And you would have some cars get turned around in the corners, and it would block the track, and that's what took so long is, you know, getting them clear. Now, they move the start line, the restart zone, to the bridge, and so they come off the bridge, and that's where they restart, and that's really cool that they're able to do that. So I like that. I thought that was a good move. But, you know, there's some things that they'll, I think, continue to tweak so you don't have a wreck fest. But overall, I liked it. I thought it was good, and we'll see what they have for year three. But I'll tell you this. I got to talk to Scott Dixon after the race, and so we're all there in victory lane. He does the hat dance and, you know, all the things that the winner's obligated to do. And then he talked to all four of the TV stations here in town. And so I was going to get him last, and so I'm standing on the stage getting ready to go, and they say, hey, you're going to ride in the golf cart with him and do the interview that way. And I said, really? And they said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, I've never done that before. So you'll hear my voice a few times because we're sitting in the back of the golf cart. And Scott, you know, is an old pro, has done this before. He's fine. I'm hanging on with one hand, holding the mic with the other, trying not to fall off the back of this thing. But here's my conversation with Big Machine Music City Grand Prix winner Scott Dixon.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe on a golf cart, actually. I've never done this before. With the winner of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, Scott Dixon. And Scott, I would say you made it look easy to get your 53rd career win, but I don't think it was anything but that today.
Yeah, what a wild day. You know, we had a fast car weekend and kind of got caught up in some stuff in qualifying, which, you know, made us start in the mid-pack. We had a good start. I think we picked up three or four, and what ultimately hurt us and put us at the back of the pack was came in for the first stop, and the Ajax failed. So we went all the way to the back and then got caught up in a crash. Took the rear underwing off the car and bent the rear suspension. We tried to repair as much as possible, but, you know, ultimately the car was in pretty poor shape. And to add to that, you know, I think on the last stop we didn't take tires, so we did 45, maybe more laps on a set of tires. So those last few laps were wild, just trying to hold on and, you know, against competition that, you know, we're in definitely a bit of a better situation. But huge kudos to the team and what they did and what they created for strategy. But what a wild day, man. It's always wild here in Nashville.
No doubt about it. And how did the track change from, you know, starting with, we had the rain earlier today, and obviously you guys started with a green racetrack. So how did you feel it changed as it went on?
Yeah, ultimately the tracks normally grip up quite good, you know, but for a situation like us where the car was damaged, it was just really trying to hold on. And tire deck gets worse as well, but, you know, as the temperature comes off, it's really hard to keep the temperature on the tires. And with all those, you know, cautions at the end, you know, the first few laps are just wild because you have no grip, so you're trying to make sure that you don't go in too deep and lock the brakes, and there's just so much of the process that you're trying to think each corner as it comes. So for me it was just so happy to see that checkered flag when I turned out of turn 11 and could see it, and I knew McLaughlin was going to be, you know, one more lap I think we were toast.
AJ Foyt, Scott Dixon, Mario Andretti, second all time. How special is that?
It's just wild, you know. For me to you know, even be mentioned in names like that, you know, they're heroes of mine, people that I love so much watching. Did I ever think I'd get to this point? Absolutely not. You know, so I feel so thankful. But you know, all but one of these races was won with Chip Ganassi. You know, so thankful to him and the partnership that we've had. And you know, feel so much for me just trying to give back to the people that made it possible to get to this level. And that's, you know, started with my family to all the investors that I had as a young kid.
Now, I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but Chip Ganassi Racing's won five straight in the city of Nashville, including today and your three at the Nashville Super Speedway. So this has to be a pretty good city for you.
That's a very good stat. And it's pretty cool. You know, I think the other stat too is that every person that's won at Nashville has gone on to win the Indianapolis 500. So hopefully, I know it's only one, but hopefully we can, you know, we can do that next year. You know, I think that was the biggest bummer for me so far this season. But yeah, great stats. It just shows you what this team is capable of doing and will continue to do.
Scott, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Scott Dixon, the winner of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Very, very nice guy. You got to talk to him before the race, Willie. So you know what he's about, a New Zealander, but very, very nice guy.
Yeah, great guy, great personality. I think represents the sport really well. I got the chance to talk to him before this year's race, and he was one of the guys I always remembered the first go-around when the Indy cars were going through our city every year in the early days of the Nashville Super Speedway. So he's been around a long time for sure. And the stat that just jumped out to me, I mean, that is unbelievable. AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti. Now, those are two guys, too, that you stay around in this business long enough. I've had the fortune to interview both of them. But those are legends. You know, you felt like when you interviewed those guys, you were interviewing a legend. Just because of the way we cover sports now, it's so much more fragmented. Back in those days when Foyt and Andretti were starring, you know, their big achievements, I think, were presented differently in a bigger way than Scott Dixon. But look at what Scott Dixon has done in comparison to those two guys. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, look, he 53 wins, 6 championships. You know, you think about anyone that wins 7 championships, you think Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty in the NASCAR side of things. Obviously, Foyt, Andretti are the names, Unser, you know, of just guys that have been really successful in the open wheel side of things. But, you know, Dixon, I was glad to be able to talk to him and glad to see him get that victory. And I'll tell you this, it was a little awkward in victory lane because Alex Palou, who's his teammate with Chip Ganassi Racing, finished third. Chip Ganassi, the car owner, is suing Palou, who's still driving for him, because there was a contract thing where he tried to sign with another team. He's still under contract. So it's a little awkward. That was a storyline this weekend at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. But overall, I thought it was a good event. Chip Ganassi Racing is one of the first two installments of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. And now on to year three coming up next year, the same weekend. So it should be a lot of fun with that. And again, good to talk to Scott Dixon.
Quick question for you on the way out. What changes, adjustments do you think we'll see going forward with the race?
I think if they can try to widen some of the trouble spots, some of those tight
turns. Is that possible? Is that feasible with the way the streets are built?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part. I don't know how much they really could do that. But I think that they'll look at it. They have some great – you know, it's kind of like the evolution of the outdoor games in the NHL. The ice has gotten better and better over the years. I mean, with street course racing, even though they've been doing street course racing a long time, in racing, I think it's just you have to keep doing it because you only get one shot at it a year. You just have to keep kind of tweaking at it as you go. So I believe that they will. And once again, another fun event at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Coming up next, Titans practice is winding down. We'll talk about some of the things that we've seen today. Also, Austin Hooper, Titans tight end, going to join us after practice around 11:15. It's Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.